When I became a pastor, I began to realize that there are certain words that we use as Christians that perhaps we use so often that we've forgotten the original meaning or definition of them. The word I'm talking about today is the word blessed. The word blessed is something that we see throughout the scriptures, throughout the hymns we sing, and throughout our language as Christians. But what does it mean to be blessed? One of the ways that we most frequently hear that word, blessed, is when someone sneezes you. God bless you. As if a sneeze warranted a special blessing from God. Another way that we use the word blessed is when something good happens to us or someone we care about. If we get some good news as far as health results go, we say that we're blessed. If we are financially well off, we say that we're blessed. If we're blessed with a new child in our family, once again, we say we're blessed. More often than not, when we talk about the word blessed, we're talking about when good things happen to us. We say that these good things are a blessing from God, which is true. The good things in our life are a blessing from God. But it's always left me to wonder, what about the times when we don't feel very blessed? What about when it's difficult to see the good things that God has given us? When it feels like our life and our world is more filled with burdens than blessings? Do we still say we're blessed in those times? And if we don't say that we're blessed, why aren't we blessed? Is God too busy blessing other people? Is God mad at us and is withholding his blessings in some way, or has God simply forgotten about us? No, of course, none of those things are true. But what is true is that we need to redefine the word blessed. Not necessarily how we define it, but most importantly, how Jesus defines it. In our gospel reading today, we hear one of the most famous passages of all the Bible. It's called the Beatitudes. And in it, Jesus frequently uses the word blessed. But he doesn't use it the way that you or I would typically use it. Jesus, more often than not, is saying the people who are experiencing negative things, negative emotions, are blessed. Jesus is saying, blessed are the hungry. Jesus is saying, blessed are the poor in spirit. Jesus is saying, blessed are the persecuted. Now, why would Jesus say such a thing? Is Jesus being insensitive? Is Jesus being unkind? I mean, if you or I said what Jesus is saying in this situation, most people would find it very offensive. As I mentioned before, Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn. Imagine if you went to a funeral where people were mourning the loss of a loved one, and you went up to the mourner and you said to them, you are blessed. They would look at you like maybe you're playing some bad joke on them, or maybe you've just simply lost your mind. The truth of the matter is, Jesus says these things, these blessings about negative experiences, not because of what is, but will be. Jesus is saying things like, blessed are the hungry, because they will be filled. And throughout the scriptures, whenever Jesus says that someone is blessed for a negative reason, he doesn't stop there. He continues to go on by saying, they will be. They will be. They will be. You see, Jesus is teaching us an important lesson, is that we can't always find our blessings based on what is happening now, but sometimes we need to find our blessing based on what will happen in the future. That our hope cannot come from our present circumstances, but our hope should come from our future promises. I remember when I was a kid, I played baseball on the same team as my twin brother. And I also had two younger brother and sisters who were also very involved in sports. And so you can imagine my parents were very busy and they couldn't personally attend every practice or game that we played in. Well, I remember one particular practice that my brother and I went to. We were dropped off by one of our parents and they left and we went to that practice and we had a really good practice. And when the practice was over, all the kids lined up to be picked up by their parents. And one by one, all the teammates that we had began to be picked up by their parents until all of a sudden, my brother and I were standing in a park in the middle of nowhere all by ourselves. The coaches must have assumed that our parents were coming or had come and they left as well. We were literally in the middle of a baseball field in the middle of what seemed to be like a cornfield with nothing or no one by us. And we stood there waiting and waiting and waiting, kind of hoping that someone would eventually pick us up. Well, we continued to wait and no one came and picked us up. And after a while, all of a sudden, the lights on the baseball field went out. We were not only completely by ourselves as children, but it was now completely pitch black. Now, this was also in the mid-90s, before the time of cell phones, and so if there was no payphone around and you were stranded, you were really stranded. My brother and I had no idea what to do. Should we go sit in the bushes somewhere? Should we just continue to wait? And so we did what a lot of people do when they're in a desperate and difficult situation. We began to pray. We began to pray that God would somehow, some way, save us. And we continued to wait until finally we came up with an idea. We said, we can't sit here all night forever. We have to figure out some way to get home. And so the best idea that we came up with is just begin walking down this road, even though we had no idea where this road was, and maybe we'd be able to find a gas station and then in turn be able to find a payphone and we can call our parents. We began this long walk in the middle of nowhere when all of a sudden, up the hill, we saw the lights to my dad's pickup truck come crashing over the hill. And it seemed that like that light just completely flooded not only us, but our hearts. All that fear, all that worry, all that anxiety that we had about being stranded was immediately washed away. Because we were rescued. We were saved. We were going to be safe. Maybe you've had an experience like that. Maybe you're experiencing something like that right now. No, not by being lost in the middle of a baseball field, but by feeling spiritually lost, by feeling emotionally lost. Maybe you don't know where to turn or what to do. Maybe it seems like your burdens are so many that you can't see your blessings at all. The thing you must find hope on is what Jesus gives us in our gospel reading today. Not what is, but what will be. One of the things that I love about this scripture reading is before Jesus gives perhaps his most famous speech of all in all of the Bible, the scripture reading says that before Jesus began to speak, he noticed the crowds. Now, what do you think that Jesus noticed about them? Jesus noticed that they were poor. Jesus noticed that they were persecuted. Jesus noticed that they were lonely, that they were hungry, that they had felt they had been forgotten and abandoned by maybe people they cared about, but maybe even God. And Jesus gives them a promise. Jesus gives them a promise through the phrase, will be. That things someday, somehow, some way will be. Now here's the important point to remember. Jesus is not just another person. Jesus is literally God on earth. And the thing about God is God always keeps his promises. That there has never been and never will be a promise that God has failed to keep. And so when you're feeling lonely, when you're feeling lost, when you're feeling afraid, hold on to that idea, will be, that somehow, some way, God will be making things better in your life. Right now, we're in the middle of this coronavirus pandemic, and at times it does seem overwhelming. And right now, I'm sure as all of you have heard, there is another wave coming not only in our area, but in our country. And it seems like more measures are being taken to limit the spread of the coronavirus. But if you're like me, one of the things that you have hope in is that what we're going through, what we're having to do by wearing masks and schools being closed and not being able to travel the way we normally are used to, is that things will not always be this way. That one day, through advances in medicine, things will get better and life will be able to return to normal. And knowing that idea doesn't necessarily make today easier, but it allows us to deal with the burdens of today. Why not have the same faith in our God as we do in our medical system? When you are going through a struggle, when you are going through a difficult situation, when it seems like the world is going through a difficult situation, hold on to that idea, will be, that God will be making things better. But in the meantime, as far as the day-to-day goes, I want to leave you with one final thought. And the final thought is this, that the world gives us problems, but God always gives us a solution. The world gives us problems, but God always gives us a solution. Now, the solution isn't always the big picture solution that we all want, but sometimes the solution simply means doing the next thing that God has called you to, taking the next step. One of my favorite scripture reading in all of the Bible comes from the book of Psalms, and it says, God's word is a lamp on our feet, a guide on our path. You see, when you think about the problems of this world, they often seem overwhelming, but when you think about what God is calling you to do today, you know what to do. You know what the next step is. Maybe the next step is just making that next doctor's appointment. Maybe the next step is just making that next phone call. Whatever it is, just take the next step. Every single day, ask God to guide your step and take those steps. And one day, somehow, God will lead you out of the wilderness that you're in. Hold on to God's promise. Hold on to God's promise that whatever struggles we or the world may be facing, they will be made better. And remember that God always keeps his promises. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we give you thanks for the opportunity to remember this scripture reading today. And we ask, Lord, that when things are difficult and challenging, help us take the next step. Help us know that when we are hungry, that when we are poor in spirit, that when we feel persecuted, things will be made better through your love. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.